All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Folks, tonight is the night. It is the night of our watch party at Greta Bar YVR. Very few tickets still remain, but there are still some tickets available for you to scoop up. Hopefully some are going to be available at the door. We're not sure if that's going to be the case, so don't risk it. Don't risk it. Buy your ticket now, nationgear.ca. Tonight is the night. Harmon and I are going to be there. Doors open at 6 p.m. Tickets available now at nationgear.ca. Free swag at the door. Prizes to be won. Food and beverage specials, and so much more. The event is in support of Canuck Place Children's Hospice, who I found out will be doing a raffle, raffling off some jerseys. It's going to be a good time. We got a lot of Nation gear to give away, and it's going to be a good time. Karan saying he can't make it. Karan, we wish you could make it too. Logan Van Dyke bringing something up right off the hop that I was going to wait till anyone else to bring up. We don't have a photo of it, so people on the podcast aren't missing out here. Noah Juulsen's dad is an absolute tank. Did you see this photo, Harmon? He's got the handlebar mustache. Yeah. And the dad's photos. Oh my goodness, that dude is an absolute unit.
Well, I'm no surprise. Well, honestly, it's so fitting, right? Because of course, a dad like that raises an absolute warrior who blocks shots. Like it's nothing. Like that Colorado game in the first period where he eats that Cale Makar one timer, and then recovers moments later to get the rebound and save a goal. I mean, that takes a different type of toughness, and I'm not surprised that his dad is a unit with a dandy of a handlebar mustache.
A dandy of a handlebar mustache. Couldn't have said it better myself. Before we go any further, I need to tell you that today's episode of Canucks Conversation is brought to you by the 2023 Toyota BZ4X. The BZ4X is Toyota's brand new all-electric SUV that is designed to go the distance for you and your family. The BZ4X is packed with Toyota's coolest tech, but it still has that trusty SUV feel you know and love. And even though it's electric, it's capable of effortlessly conquering any terrain. Whether it's rain, snow, mud, or your friend's questionable post-game recaps, the BZ4X will get you through it all. And I just got to say this again, Harm. I am so pumped for the watch party. I was excited before, obviously, but man, just now that it's actually here, now that it's actually happening and seeing how many people are coming, seeing some of the people that are going to be there, you know, people we haven't met yet, but some names that I recognize from the YouTube chat. I am so pumped to meet everybody. It's going to be so fun. And I still look, nobody's taking me up on it yet. We'll see tonight if anybody takes me up on arcade basketball, but I'm excited. I'm very excited. And you and I are going to be there. We are going to be emceeing that event, and it is going to be a lot of fun. One might even say it will be electric.
I was going to say, I'm predicting an early exit in your arcade basketball tournament there. I think you're... I know you're bold coming off a strong regular season, but I feel like you're the Leafs choking early in the playoffs, making bold claims. Overpaid guy gets his big bucks, thinks he's the man. I think you're going to get taken down, to be honest. I don't believe in your basketball skills as much as you do.
What gave that away? What makes you not believe in my basketball skills? Would it be my height? I don't know what it could be. Anyways, let's get going here because Jeff Patterson's going to join us in about 10 minutes time. He is on the road in Seattle, and what a day for him to be there. Grady, pull up these line rushes here. Vancouver versus Seattle is tonight. Like I said, Jeff is there, gave us some line rushes. Elias Lindholm remains on the first line, but in the top six, we do see a change with Pia Suter going down to the third line with Teddy Bluger and Connor Garland. And Arshdeep Bains, in his second NHL game, is getting that promotion that someone in the YouTube live chat brought up yesterday, Harmon. Arshdeep Bains is going to play with JT Miller and Brock Besser tonight.
Yeah, I'm surprised that he got that opportunity that quickly, but I like giving it a shot. I think with Pia Suter, he's generally been fine in that role. I think he started well, but has since tapered off. What stood out since the Winnipeg game for him is that even though Miller's line has been creating so many chances, feels like Suter just hasn't been able to, when he does get a chance in the slot, actually bury the opportunity. It just feels like scoring chance after scoring chance. I don't want to say goes to die on a stick because it hasn't been very long, but recently he has been having trouble finishing. So that's what I'm looking at in terms of Arshdeep stepping up into that role is, yeah, I know he's mostly a playmaker, but with how hot JT Miller is lately, not only as a goal scorer, but the types of chances that he's setting up, Baines is going to have to be on point with his finishing, knowing that, hey, if I get an opportunity in the slot here, he needs to be able to decisively bury it because that's what's going to differentiate him from Suter, who otherwise he is typically a reliable two-way player. There's nothing really wrong with him. It's just that Suter wasn't really driving play. And if you're not finishing as a supporter, then it's worth changing up the mix there.
You have to hope that JT and Brock kind of pulled Arshdeep aside this morning and just said, like, hey, man, you can shoot tonight. Like, you don't have to always be looking for us. You always have to go for those passes because, look, we know Arshdeep Bains is obviously a great playmaker, but yeah, there was that sequence, obviously, in his first game where would have liked to see him take a shot instead of trying to feed Brock, but we broke it down yesterday. This guy grew up a Canucks fan. He was like 16 years old when we all watched Brock Besser's phenomenal rookie season. Look, Arshdeep Bains wants to get an assist on a Brock Besser goal. For sure he does. For sure he does. But I am hoping Arshdeep Bains scores a goal tonight in the top six. The roof would come off the place. And when I say the place, I mean Greta at the watch party. It's going to be absolutely electric tonight. Well, I'm very excited.
I was also just going to quickly say Bains could work well with Miller in terms of how they make plays below the offensive dots. The same reason why I thought Bains would be a good fit on the third line with Garland. You have two playmakers connecting there in the same way that Bains was able to set up a couple of chances for Bluger. If that's Brock Besser in that situation, then those chances might actually convert into assists as well. So that's the other angle of it is, yeah, Bains is going to get opportunity to score, but there's also the other side of the coin where I do think, given how well Miller protects the puck down low, given how well he gets his line mates involved, there's also going to be opportunities, given that you already have a natural finisher and Besser on that line, where Bain's playmaking could shine as well.
Thatcher Demko starts in goal for the Canucks. The other big piece of information from our pal Jeff Patterson was that the Canucks changed up their first power play unit, Harmon. The power play has been a huge topic of conversation lately, and Jeff was reporting that Elias Lindholm is off the first power play unit. They're going to two defensemen with Filip Hronek. Look, when we talk about moves that we don't want to see them make to try to change up the power play, the big one that you and I have discussed a lot is don't move JT Miller off the half wall. I think right there also has to be don't put two defensemen on the power play. I don't love that in principle, and I haven't liked it when I've seen it for this team in practice with Quinn Hughes and Filip Hronek on the first unit.
Yeah, it might give them a short-term boost, but I just don't view it as a long-term fix. It's rare to find a top power play unit around the NHL that excels over a consistent long-term basis with two defensemen. Not to mention, Hronek's best asset is a shot, and especially his one-timer. So where is he going to be positioned? Because if you're going to position him for his one-timers, well, that's going to be the left half wall where we kind of want to see JT Miller in that spot. So I'm not sure if this is, again, it might give them a short-term spark, but I don't think this is going to be the long-term answer. But on the other hand, I also kind of understand that Lindholm hasn't been impactful in the power play since his first game in Carolina, where he scored a call, where he scored a pair. I can understand wanting to mix things up a little bit. Maybe some change is what you need to get it going. But I'm putting it this way: I'm not necessarily excited for this change.
That's fair. I think that's a good way to put it too. And look, I get it. Like, when your power play's been struggling as much as the Canucks have, you can look for those little sparks, even if you don't think it's going to be a long-term kind of fit. We'll see what ends up happening tonight. I just wonder what it actually means for, you know, player positioning. Like, are you going to see Brock Besser go down low? And I don't know. It could result in a few different things, and I'm interested to see what we see tonight. And like I said, we're going to be watching that game at Greta. Jeff's joining us early, which is great. So we will get to Jeff, who is brought to you. Actually, we got to do this first. Sorry, Jeff. Give me a sec. I'll ask Jeff for his as well. But it's time for the Four Wins Light the Lamp contest. Vancouver is playing Seattle tonight, and we want to know who's going to score the first goal for Vancouver. If you nail it, you could win a $25 gift card to the Four Winds Tap Room, located at 72nd and River Road in Delta. Enter by following us on social media, keep an eye out for today's show clip, and comment who you think will light the lamp and score the first goal tonight. Winners will be contacted directly. Check us out at Canucks Army, at Canucks Convo on Twitter, at CanucksArmy.com on Instagram, and Canucks Army on Facebook. And make sure you ask about Four Winds Light Light Lager at your local liquor store, or have some delivered to your front door through the online shop at fourwindsbrewing.ca. I'm going with Archdeep Baines. That's my pick, Harm.
Brock Besser.
All right, perfect time to bring him in. Jeff Patterson, the man who will be hosting Rinkwide live from Seattle. Post game, we need Jeff's pick. Do we have Jeff here, Grady? There it is. All right. Jeff, from the hotel room, who's your pick to score for Vancouver first tonight?
Let's go with JT Miller. It's an easy pick just because he's riding the hot hand. He scored in back-to-back games, had the hat trick the other day. I think he's going to be excited to play with Archdeep Baines. And look, I heard you guys talking about Pia Suter. Pia Suter's been a nice fit wherever. I mean, there's just a comfort, I think, in a coaching staff knowing that they can put Pia Suter wherever, and he'll be fine on that line with Bluger and Garland. But he's gone 10 games without scoring a goal now. And so I think the thinking and the hope is that Archdeep Baines gets this bump, gets the boost, and can deliver a lot of what Pia Suter does on that line with JT Miller. And then the flip side is, like, Baines had those two incredible setups to Teddy Bluger the other night. Well, Teddy Bluger hasn't scored since the first game out of the Christmas break against Philadelphia. If you put those pucks on JT Miller's stick and in his wheelhouse, maybe there is some finish there. So Archdeep Baines is as low-key as they come. We had a chance to talk to him after the morning skate, taking it all in stride. He admitted that, yes, he noticed that Jared Bednar was trying to jump the rookie the other day with the McKinnon line. And he said, like, why wouldn't you? You know, he's just taking this all very naturally. I asked him if more family would be coming down the I-5. Obviously, his dad getting a little pub on the Fathers and Mentors trip. And he thought that, yes, there would be more making the trek down. But he wasn't sure. And he said, quite frankly, I don't want to know because that's when the nerves will kick in. And just a quick aside on Archdeep Baines, guys. It was funny because it reminded me, or I got to thinking, that Abbotsford played a game, or played two games, actually, against Seattle's farm team here in the Emerald City last year, early when the rink in Palm Springs was still being built. And so I went through game sheets, had to go back through the AHL website and talk about it. This is how far a guy has come. Archdeep Baines was a healthy scratch the night that they played at Climate Pledge Arena. So he didn't get the chance to play on NHL ice then. They played another game at the Kraken's practice facility. He did play in that one, but he kind of laughed too. He's like, yeah, it was a healthy scratch. But he's not a healthy scratch tonight. He's in the top six for the Vancouver Canucks, and what an opportunity for the young man.
You reported that Filip Hronek is jumping up to the first power play unit. Do you think that's the fix that can get this man advantage back on track?
I'm with you, Harm. I think in the short term, I think a change is probably good, that what they were doing hasn't been working. 1-for-24, complete lack of shots on goal. Quinn Hughes hasn't had a power play shot on goal in 7 games. Now, he did hit the crossbar the other night, so he came close. But, you know, you're seeing teams pressure up high, and he doesn't have the threat of a one-time bomb to back guys off. He's got lots of other tools in that toolbox. But Rick Tocchet talked about maybe taking a page out of Edmonton's book a little bit, and I guess Phil Hronek would play the role of Evan Bouchard with the bomb. And he basically talked about how Quinn Hughes can sort of operate as a forward on the power play on the left side, that all of his playmaking skills, and we know how elusive he is there. So I think that's what you're going to see, at least to start, is that Quinn Hughes is essentially going to work on that left flank. It'll be Hronek at the top of the umbrella, and somebody does have to shoot. Like, it can't just be JT Miller, and JT Miller has been shooting a bunch on the power play, but when JT Miller is shooting, that takes JT Miller, the playmaker, out of the equation as well. And so, you know, I have no issues with the puck being on JT Miller's stick, because we've seen he has absolutely lit up the National Hockey League in terms of power play production over his time with the Vancouver Canucks. So I don't think it's the long-term play, but right here, right now, I have no issues. And I think the hope is that they're going to get Filip Hronek to unload a couple of bombs. If guys want to block them, you know, hey, full credit to them. But if guys back off, either they're shooting lanes or, you know, if the pressure comes out, move the puck quickly, and hopefully you get it in the hands of somebody that can take advantage of the space that's created. So it wasn't working with Elias Lindholm, and that's not a knock on Lindholm. He'll be on the second power play, and maybe that throws a little different look into that second power play as well. The other wrinkle we saw, guys, in the morning skate was Elias Pettersson back into the middle. We had heard last week that Rick Tocchet wanted to give Lindholm a long look at center. Apparently, he has seen enough there. And again, that line's been all right, but I prefer EP 40 in the middle. I mean, I think that's where he's proven to be his best. And so going back to that. So lots of moving parts. There were a lot of moving parts at this morning skate, this morning at Climate Pledge.
Jeff, this is something you spoke with Rick talking about. I saw it on your Twitter account, but it kind of feels like with the promotions and hell, even Archdeep Baines to some extent, that the fourth line has kind of become a band of misfit toys. And, yeah, you know, obviously that's different than what they were even 2 weeks ago when we were seeing Nils Höglander there. What do you make of the fourth line right now? And just touch on your conversation a little bit with Rick Tocchet.
Yeah, I just asked him. I said, like, early in the season, you had Höglander down there. You had Kuzmenko when he was still here. That for a lot of this season, that fourth line has had a bit of an offensive, I don't know, profile. But they've had a guy that obviously can and has scored lower in the lineup. They don't have that right now. The way that their fourth line was constituted the other night, now they're going to switch, PDG unavailable, so Sam Lafferty comes in. Lafferty scored the one goal in that 1-0 win in Buffalo, but the other night, they didn't have a guy on the fourth line that had scored since Christmas. So offense is an afterthought, but you have to be able to do other things. And one of the things that we're not seeing that we saw earlier in the season was the fourth line that could stack shifts. And even if they weren't scoring, spending time in the offensive zone, trying to wear down the other team, force them to defend. This team, this fourth line right now, however it's constituted, seems to spend too much time defending, having trouble getting out of its own zone, giving up chances. And, you know, again, Nilsson isn't a threat to score. Mikheyev right now, enough said. We've talked about him at length. So you're right. It is a weird sort of fit and feel on that fourth line. And Tocchet admitted that, yes, it's an issue right now. That, and he said, to go far in the playoffs, you need a fourth line with an identity. And I thought that was, you know, fairly damning of the group that they've got right now, that he kind of admitted that, you know, they don't have much of an identity. And he said, like, can I get solid offensive shifts out of them? Can I get shifts where I know I can trust them defensively? And he kind of left it as an open-ended question in that regard right now. So you've got a fourth line that's kind of just treading water, and it's not as effective as it was earlier in the season. You know, let's see what happens when Dakota Joshua gets back. That will free up somebody to perhaps play a little lower in the lineup. Maybe Pia Suter ends up on that fourth line, and that would be something too, because remember how they started the season. Suter was the third line center, Bluger was the fourth line, and those two have sort of switched a little bit. So, yeah, I mean, I don't think anybody can watch the fourth line right now and be impressed with what they've got going. It's just kind of keep your fingers crossed that you're not getting pinned and you're ultimately not getting scored on or taking penalties. That seems to be the best case scenario for a fourth line rather than a group that can get out there and change momentum.
Jay Pat, the Canucks are looking to, of course, snap their 3-game losing streak, the first of the season. Do you have a do something candidate for us? And we'll say no Ilya Mikheyev because we've spoken plenty about him.
Yeah, usually harm my do something guy. Like, I actually have a hope that he's going to do something. And that bus has left the station right now with Mikheyev. Maybe not all time. I think I always default to Quinn Hughes. And I just think that as the captain, as a guy that's so dynamic that can take over hockey games, you know, a lot of it does start with him, whether it's 5-on-5 or on the power play. So the mentors are here. The dads are here. I will, you know, I don't know if that inspires them that much more, but Quinn Hughes is all world for this hockey club. We all know what he means. And so I just think, for me, I always look to Quinn Hughes. You know what you're getting, Thatcher Demko in goal tonight. So I think that they believe that they've got an edge in goal. It looks like Philip Grubauer is going to get the call for the Kraken, which is interesting because he's played once since December the 9th. And Joey DeCord really has taken over. And so maybe the Canucks getting a little bit of a break and they're seeing the backup here in Seattle and a guy that just hasn't played very much. But this absolutely blew my mind. I don't know if it will yours or the viewers and the listeners. But as I was doing my research for this game, and I was going through the Kraken and the way that they had played, and they had a 9-game win streak that kind of got them back in the playoff conversation. Since December the 12th, and I get it, that's an arbitrary date, but since December the 12th, no team in the National Hockey League has allowed fewer goals than the Seattle Kraken. So wow. You may think, like, all right, you know, the goofy game in Minnesota and followed up by tough one against Colorado. Well, we said this was a sneaky, tough road trip all along. Kraken are going to be hungry and motivated. They're there knocking on the door for the playoff spot that they had last year. And that just kind of blew my mind. Like, when you think of the Winnipeg Jets and all those numbers around them and how little they give up, since December the 12th, nobody has been stingier defensively than the Seattle Kraken. So right there, you know how they're having whatever success they're having, and you know that the Canucks are going to have to be prepared probably to grind yet again. And so, you know, I think the Canucks feel pretty good about the way they played in Colorado, obviously a little bit better finish. And JT Miller talked about, like, he laughed when it was presented to him that 3 games, you know, represents a crisis now. And he said, like, in this room, you know, we're guarding against any kind of talk like that, that we know how well we've played all season long. And we understand who we are. We're comfortable with the way that we played the other night. It's just about burying some chances when you get them. But if people think this is going to be the easy game of the three on this 3 games and 4-night road trip, I'll think again, because the Kraken for the last couple of months have not given up much of anything.
Jeff, quietly a opponent that I don't think the Canucks would want to meet in round one. Obviously, we know what happened with the Colorado Avalanche and the Seattle Kraken last season. With the 3-game skid that the Canucks are on, I don't even want to call it a skid. It just kind of feels like it's just not as big of a story as it would be if it was maybe the start of the year, or just that this team has bought themselves enough goodwill. We broke it down yesterday. There were 7 3-game losing streaks last season. This is obviously the first one. You know, what do you make of all of this? And is it just a blip on the radar?
I mean, this obviously the power play is a story right now. To me, that's the bigger story than 3 straight losses. Like, I stand up and applaud the Canucks to get to 58 games on their schedule without 3 consecutive losses. Like, come on. I've covered this team for close to 25 years. I've seen a lot of 3-game losing streaks that have turned into 6 games and 7. So you hope that, like, that's the danger, I suppose. And you got Boston sitting there. Well, they're not waiting because they play in Calgary before they get, but Saturday, you know, and hopefully nobody's looking past the Seattle team to Boston on Saturday. I think for me, like, they played well enough against Winnipeg 5-on-5. Again, they had a power play in the third period at 2-2 and they didn't convert. And then the Jets pulled away and they got the goals they needed. I throw the third period in Minnesota out as an outlier. Like, and I agree with Rick Tocchet. Like, they did a lot of good to build a 5-2 lead, as crazy as it sounds, giving up 10. But 5-on-5, they did a lot of good against Minnesota. And I love the way they played the other night against Colorado. Like, straight up, you get a power play with 6 minutes to go, put the hammer down and tie that game. And they didn't. And so, really, very few issues. In fact, I think you could look at the last 3 games and just on the way that they've played, suggest that this is a pretty decent stretch, that there have been dips in their performance along the way. And if they play the way they did in Colorado against the Seattle team tonight, I like their chances. That doesn't mean they're going to win, but I think that, to your point, Dave, like, remember last year, they lost the first 3 games of the year, and that became 4, became 5, 6, and ultimately 7. And, I mean, jerseys are getting thrown on the ice. People are wondering, are they ever going to win? And that's where the big difference to me is. Early in the season, you do wonder, like, is this who we are as a team if you're losing 3 in a row? You go 55 games without losing 3 straight, I think you can compartmentalize and allow yourself to exhale and say, we know who we are as a team. this kind of stuff happens over the course of a long season. So I'm not concerned for the Vancouver Canucks. They're still going to be a playoff team. You know, are they inviting some company back at the top? I mean, they've dropped below Florida and Boston now in terms of points percentage. Again, I don't know how much people really even want them to be President's Trophy winners. So it is more being mindful of, you know, those teams at the top of the West and certainly in the Pacific Division. But for all the good that they've done this year, I give them a pass on three games. Now, if it gets to five and teams are starting to creep up on them, that's a different issue. And we know, like, they come off the road here. They got Boston, they got Pittsburgh, they got Los Angeles for the first time next week. Like, you know, find me the easy game there. It's not a trick question, but really the answer is there isn't one. So, you know, they're just going to have to up their level, finish their chances, and man, a couple of power play goals here or there, I think would go a long way to helping the cause right now.
Jeff, who's co-hosting Rinkwide with you tonight? And please don't say me. I really hope I didn't forget once again that I'm co-hosting Rinkwide with you.
Well, I think you're going to be free to do it because just to bring the conversation full circle here right off the top when I saw you guys talking, like I'm with Harm. Like I haven't seen your arcade basketball skills with my own two eyes, but you strike me very much as like a five seed in the NCAA tournament that is just ripe for the picking by a 12 seed. And you're going to peacock in there thinking that you're all that, and you're just going to like throw up bricks and somebody's just going to like, I mean, they won't dunk on you because nobody's got arms long enough to dunk in arcade basketball. But yeah, I just think that you are ripe for the massive upset. That's just my take on that. So, you know, until I see you play arcade basketball. And look, I'd love to be there at the watch party. I'm excited to be here at the first time at Climate Pledge to see an NHL game. I used to call games in the Western Hockey League when it was Key Arena, but obviously they blew the bones off this thing and built it from the ground up and was in there for the morning skate. It's a spectacular looking facility, and I'm sure lots of the viewers and listeners have already had the chance to get down here and see an NHL game. So I'm excited to see, would love to see this rivalry crank up a notch or two. I don't know if that's going to happen tonight. And this is it for the season series. That's the other thing. Like, Seattle only made the one visit to Vancouver in November. So it's hard to build a rivalry when you only get one look at a geographic opponent like that. But two games here, they've split their two games, each winning in the other team's building. And let's see if the Canucks have enough to bump the slump here and get a win before they head on home.
Good stuff as always. I'm sure there'll be video posted of my arcade basketball skills. So,
oh, to answer your question, Farhan Lalji, who isn't here in attendance, he's got an assignment. He's got a flight to catch early tomorrow morning. So he thought about coming down, but he will join me remotely. But as it was on Tuesday, it'll be Farhan from TSN. So looking forward to getting his thoughts on this one after the game. And guys, enjoy yourself. Sounds like fun. And hopefully we can find a way to get me to the next watch party whenever, wherever.
Absolutely. Good stuff, Jeff. Thanks so much for doing this.
All right, guys.
That is Jeff Patterson. You can check him out post-game on Rinkwide Vancouver, wherever you get your podcast. And as he said, Farhan Lalji is going to be his co-host tonight, and it's going to be a good episode. It's always a good episode over on Rinkwide Vancouver.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Before we move on to anyone else, let's make this an extended anyone else segment. So get your anyone else's in early, folks. I need to tell you about a sponsor of ours, HSBC World Rugby Sevens. Western Canada's largest sporting event this year is the ninth time the event has visited Vancouver as part of the World Rugby Sevens series. This weekend, coming up this weekend, all weekend long, BC Place is going to be the place to be, and it is going to be bumping. You can get tickets at vansevens.com starting from just $40 per day. And if you want to go, we've got a 4-pack of tickets for the entire weekend to give away. Text hashtag sevens, that's SEVENS, to 778-402-9680 for your chance to win. This is the final week that we will be giving away a 4-pack to the event. Text hashtag sevens to 778-402-9680. All right, Harm, time for anyone else.
It's time for anyone else, presented by DoorDash. It's our listener's chance to get involved and hit us up in the YouTube live chat. And it's also our listener's chance to get 25% off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more when they download the DoorDash app and enter code NATION25. Offer valid in Canada. Subject to change. Terms apply. Ordering is easy, much easier than this ad read. Just open the DoorDash app, choose what you want from where you want, and your items will be left safely outside your door with the default contactless delivery setting.
Crushed it. You're warming up for your MCing tonight at the watch party. All right, anyone else? This one from Lefty All Around. I, for one, am totally excited to get Lindholm off power play one. Harm, how much of the power play's lack of success has been on the back of Elias Lindholm?
Well, I don't think they found a great way to utilize him, to be totally honest. I don't think he's been overly involved for good or for bad, but considering the whole point of a power play is that you have one extra player, it's clear that they haven't been able to utilize the advantage of having Lindholm as an extra player. But on the other hand, it's not like he's been killing plays, that plays are dying on his offensive stick, yeah, that he's turning pucks over. I don't think getting him off the unit is like an automatic that we're immediately going to get this right type thing. But yeah, they weren't able to find the right role and fit for him early on. And I am sort of intrigued to see what JPAT was mentioning. Hronek at the top and Quinn Hughes maybe freelancing as more of a forward on one of the flanks. Actually, now that I'm thinking about it, don't hate it, because I was just picturing as a possibility Hronek on the left flank just firing bombs from distance, which don't know if I love that approach, but this might be an interesting wrinkle.
We'll see how it goes tonight. And folks, there's going to be trivia in the intermission of the watch party. And Harmon, you had something else to say.
Yeah, I just wanted to quickly jump in and make a couple more points about the Seattle game. So first, rest-wise, I think it's interesting to point out Seattle's only played one game in their last six days. Just one game. So they're going to be really fresh. They've only played five games in all of February. Whereas you compare it to the Canucks, this is going to be their third game in four nights and their eighth game in 13 days. So there's a serious rest differential there, which I think, again, highlights just how much that even though Seattle isn't very high up the standings, that it is going to be a difficult matchup. The other point I wanted to make is I think the Canucks top players are going to have to be difference makers in this one, because you look at Seattle's bottom six and I think they have the clear advantage. That's been really the hallmark of that Seattle team. How they beat Colorado in the playoffs was lines three and four aren't typical third and fourth lines. I mean, you look at the third line on paper right now, it's Yanni Gourde, Tolvanen, and Oliver Bjorkstrand, who's an all-star. Their fourth line has Tomas Tatar, Ty Cartier, and Brandon Tanev. That's a way better fourth line than the Canucks can ice. But the flip side of that equation is Seattle doesn't have the star power that Vancouver does, right? Jared McCann leads them with 41 points. Well, the Canucks have five players who have more points than that and would lead Seattle in scoring. So to me, it's going to have to be Vancouver's star talent. Even when you look at Thatcher Demko in net versus Philip Grubauer, that puts them over the top in this game.
Yeah, Travis Wall jumping in here about PP1 when we were talking about Lindholm. He said, yeah, they need some practice time with Lindholm, but I don't think he's the problem. Need more movement and crisper passes. We've got a few more in here as well. This one from Jeremy Lee. I'll pose this to you, Harm. Are the Canucks getting figured out, or is it the war of attrition of 82 games finally catching up?
I don't think it's either. I just think it's a blip on the radar. I'm not too worried about it. I do think that there is something to the idea that when teams see that the Canucks are this high up the Western Conference standings, that there's a different level of respect that opponents have, a different level of preparation, pre-scouting, mentality and mindset. Because I guarantee you, when opponents came to visit the Canucks last season or at the start of this season, nobody really took them seriously. And when teams don't take you seriously, again, players might, if they're visiting Vancouver, they might be going out on the road the night before. It's just totally like a different thing. And I remember having conversations like this with an NHL executive out east, for example, when I was talking to him, because he watches a lot of the Buffalo Sabres. I was like, why has Buffalo been such a disappointment this year? And one of the points he brought up was, well, last year, Buffalo just took everybody by surprise because nobody took them seriously. But this year, everybody knew how much hype was on Buffalo. So teams were pre-scouting Buffalo a lot differently. They were actually taking them seriously. And that meant each game was that much more difficult. And I think that's something that the Canucks are going to have to be mindful of through the second half, is they have a target on their back now. The Winnipeg game is a perfect example where the physicality ramps up. The officiating might not always go in your favor. It is going to become more difficult, especially because, as Frank noted, especially for good teams, the closer you get to end of February, March, ramping up towards the playoffs, teams are getting dialed in defensively. Teams aren't turning pucks over as much. Teams aren't as careless with their structure. It's harder to win games at this point of the season. But beyond that aspect and getting the special teams back on track, I'm not really worried about this little rough patch.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, just you bring up games late in the season. And on the flip side of it, if you're at the bottom of the standings, teams aren't playing you very hard. And it feels like that's kind of how teams played the Canucks to start this year. And obviously things are very, very different. Now, I also want to plug Dave Hall's Canucks prospect ranking. It's the 2024 midterm prospect ranking that's out now on CanucksArmy.com. We're just going through the top 10 right now. He did Cole McWard. And Cole McWard, you know, coming in late last season kind of made me think about these late games and how these late games that we're about to witness down the stretch here are going to be totally different than any we've seen, hell, for the past, you know, 10 years. It feels like it's going to be a very, very different style of hockey that we're going to see. Like you said, a lot cleaner. Teams are going to be ready to jump on mistakes. Okay, this one from Karan, and we're going to wrap up pretty early here. It doesn't look like we have a lot more in the chat. I got my baseball stuff. Grady, I'm going to give you a chance. Get the baseball photos of the Fanatics jerseys. Get those ready. Those are coming
okay,
up.
Okay, Fanatics, if it's Fanatics, I'm ready for that.
Did you see the nutty pants? Did you see those, Harm? Did anybody send those to you?
No.
Grady, I have another
task. Do I want to see those?
Grady, find the picture of the San Francisco Giants player wearing the pants. You'll know what I'm talking about. They're in the work tape, Grady. They're in the work tape. But just find the nutty photo. Okay, Karan asked this, Harm, and this one's for you. Is there a puck moving D-man on the market you guys want the Canucks to target?
It's a good question. I haven't done a ton of research into depth defensemen yet. I'm just trying to look at what the Canucks have on the back end right now and picturing potential fit. I think you definitely need it to be a righty because you're already stacked on the left side and we haven't even accounted for Carson Soucy's return yet. So it would have to be a righty. I don't know. Like the Canucks are in an interesting spot where I'm looking at their blue line, and when healthy, I don't think they need somebody in their sort of top six, because let's put it this way, right? when Susie comes back, you're going to have Hughes, Hronik, Cole, Myers, Zadorov, and Susie. That's already six. So you're already looking at a situation where Noah Juulsen's out of lineup. So if you bring in another player, that player would have to be better than, let's say, Tyler Myers, because that player would have to be coming in for a Myers or a Zadorov or a Cole. Now, that's when you get into the territory of like a Sean Walker. I think he'd be a decent fit, or a Chris Tanev. But the acquisition cost for those guys is so expensive, and I don't think the Canucks need that type of piece right now. So when we talk about depth to the blue line, you might be looking at more so insurance, like 7-8 type defensemen, accounting for a deep playoff run and the injuries you might run into. And when we're getting that into the weeds about players that you're not even looking at in a top six role, I don't have a list of targets that jumps out to my head immediately. But I do think just going through the exercise, the Canucks are in an interesting spot with the back end where the minimum bar to enter and be a playing member of a healthy Canucks top six is a lot higher than it used to be. Like, you're going to have to leapfrog again, Nikita Zadorov or Tyler Myers at this point. And I just don't think it's worth paying the premium price to acquire one of those guys. You're more just looking at cheap depth.
Harmon, I want to pivot a little bit. How much better does this team's blue line get when Carson Soucy returns?
Oh, it's massive. I think there's a level of comfort when he plays as a combination of his defensive reach, how he defends the rush. Even in zone, when the Canucks are defending the cycle, he not only has the size and the physicality to be able to win battles, but he's a smart defender positionally. And I think that matters, because sometimes you'll have these large physical defensemen where teams look at them and go, that guy is going to break up the cycle, he's going to be good defensively. But then you watch him play and you're like, his reads aren't on point at all. But Susie, he's a genuinely smart player outside of his size, outside of the physical attributes. So when you combine that with his puck skills on breakouts, making simple outlet passes, being more poised with the puck than I expected, it's such a two-way asset to be able to add to this team, plus the penalty kill impact. I've really, really loved his impact when he's been healthy.
All right. Grady needs a second, so I'm just going to preface what I want to talk about. It was the Fanatics pants, and we brought this up recently, the Fanatics jerseys that have been in Major League Baseball and spring training, all that starting. So we're starting to see it. They are selling for $400. You remember when you asked me, Harm? You were like, wait, are they really selling they are selling for like $500 Canadian. Okay. This jersey behind me, this Julio Rodriguez jersey behind me, and for those in the podcast, I'm pointing at a Julio Rodriguez jersey behind me. That thing cost me like $150. Like, it's a real authentic jersey, like from the Mariners team store, $150. Hockey jerseys are like $300, right? These new Fanatics ones, which look awful, are selling for $400. They're being listed at $400. I didn't believe it. Like, I thought I was looking at something incorrect, but like, no, the official gear now, the official jerseys are $400. And I'm like, who is buying these? Who is buying these new jerseys? And I'm stunned. I'm stunned, but you can still buy last year's jerseys. Like, you can still buy those. Those are the main ones on the MLB site. It's just that the new ones have started to show up. And that's what people are like looking at, is they're like, okay, when these are widely available and they're the dominant jersey that you're going to be buying, this is what it's going to cost. It's going to cost a lot of money. And look, I'm stunned. First of all, and Grady's got the photo here. These pants are see-through, Harmon. This is what I was trying to explain to you. The pants are see-through. So do you have the photo of the Giants player, Grady? Cause yeah. Harm, can we get a zoom in there, Grady, on Casey Schmidt there? On his pants. So,
oh no,
nobody wants to see this. You can take it off the screen, Grady. No. You can take it off the screen now. People saw what they needed to see. This is the quality that we're dealing with. And I don't know if we have this photo, but Michael Chavis, player for the Seattle Mariners, posted a photo of the jerseys in his stall. and someone took that picture of Michael Chavis's Instagram story, an MLB player, and they posted it on Twitter, and the Fanatics account replied to it and said, uh-oh, looks like we got that one wrong. Can you please DM us for more information? To an official picture of an MLB player taking a picture of the jersey in their stall. Like I said, they weren't replying to the player, but they were replying to a photo of a player's jersey that was supplied to the player. This wasn't just some person ordering a jersey and it looks off. Like, and again, I don't know if we have the photo, but it's wild. It's absolutely wild that this is happening. And like I said, the reason I keep bringing this up, it's not baseball talk. And look, I love this. I love this. A lot of people in the chat are liking this. It's not baseball talk. It's not baseball talk. It's why is Casey Schmidt still on the screen, Grady? Take Casey Schmidt off the screen. It's not baseball talk. It's Fanatics talk. And of course, like I said last time I brought it up, it is relevant because Fanatics is going to be the jersey supplier and manufacturer of all NHL jerseys starting next season. And they were just the manufacturer of these jerseys. Nike designed these jerseys, but Fanatics Fanatics manufactured them. And look, we're going to keep an eye on it. I don't know what's going to happen. That Casey Schmidt picture, that just can't happen. Like, what are we doing here? What are we doing?
DHgate sales are going to go through the roof.
Oh, DHgate's the new official supplier of Major League Baseball jerseys at this rate. My goodness. Anyways, Karan, can't wait for the JT Miller crotch shot. Oh, and for those on the podcast, I'll just say it. The photo of Casey Schmidt, he's sitting with his legs open and he's wearing pants, but you can see an outline. And also, yeah, look at this Michael Chavis jersey. You can see an outline of his nether regions. And it's unbelievable. Can't happen. Yeah, and there it is. Yeah, Michael Chavis, the jersey's posted, and Fanatic support replies said, looks like we dropped the ball on this one. Send me a DM so I can learn more about this. And for those that don't know, this has been called out many times. When Fanatic screws up a jersey, which is often, they send you a 30% off coupon. Like, Wyatt had a really funny story with them, and we'll maybe tell Wyatt to retell his story. But yeah, just unbelievable the lack of quality on these jerseys, and it too funny that we saw them replying to a photo of an actual player's jersey and saying, "Looks like we got this one wrong. We got to figure this one out." And anyways,
I just feel bad for whoever has to do customer service. Some poor. Yeah. Like intern or somebody that's not paid a lot, you immediately respond and just imagine all the hate notifications and mentions going wild.
The way that was worded, though, it almost looked like it was like an Autobot setup reply. Because
yeah, but
if it was a human doing that, like, you would pick up on it, like, okay, we need to actually go through the MLB PR team and do this the right way.
Not if it's a not super bright human. Like, I think that's a pretty easy
error. I mean, it is Fanatics, so who knows?
Like, I think it's a pretty easy error to make. But anyways,
you're probably responding to, like, you're probably responding to like hundreds of those a day,
yeah,
considering their error rate. So yeah, it's easy to, I think, gloss over that, especially because it's not like the player himself tweeted it. So,
yeah, exactly. They do have chat bots that are still ran by a human that, like, auto replies, and that just, that's, yes, why you see their name there. So that's my guess. At least one of my old jobs, we had that set up. So who knows?
I still
bad luck regardless.
It's too funny. It's too funny. Anyways, okay, we're going to wrap it up with baseball talk. Let's get to our Betway Bet of the Day as we wrap up a little bit early here. Our Betway Bet of the Day is brought to you by, you guessed it, Betway. Now, I didn't pick Archdeep Bains to score, but I did pick the Vancouver Canucks to win at our watch party tonight. A $10 bet at -130 odds returns you $17.69. Over at Betway. Must be 90 plus to play. If you choose to play, please play responsibly. It's going to be really good. It's going to be a good time. It's going to be a really good time at the watch party tonight. Looking forward to seeing all of you folks. For my co-host, Harmon Dial, who is also looking forward to seeing all of you, and our technical producer, Grady Sass, who is also looking forward to seeing all of you. My name is Dave Grigelli, and I'm looking forward to seeing all of you. Thanks so much for listening to another episode of the Canucks Conversation.
Canucks Conversation with Harmon and Quads, brought to you by the Toyota BZ4X. The BZ4X's fresh look is just an added bonus to its range, since you can drive up to 406 kilometers on a single charge. That's enough to get you from Kitsilano to Whistler or Kamloops to Kelowna and back and still be home in time for the game. Now that's what we'd call electric. The best part, by choosing electric, you can get up to $11,000 in rebates and incentives. The BZ4X are in stock and selling quickly, so make sure to visit shoptoyota.ca or your local Pacific Toyota dealer to get your hands on one. Canucks Conversation is live Monday through Friday, every weekday at 2 p.m. over on the Canucks Army YouTube channel. Make sure you like, subscribe, and interact in the YouTube live chat every day with us, folks.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns, so you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.